For only the second time this year, Governor Bruce Rauner and the four legislative leaders are set to meet Tuesday in Springfield. These meetings are private. I'm Amanda Vinicky, NPR Illinois State House Bureau Chief, and I had the chance to get some perspective about where a couple of the leaders stood going into this confab. Here's part of my interviews with the General Assembly's Democratic leaders from Monday. House Speaker Michael Madigan has been in Illinois politics for a long time. He's been a state representative since 1971, so he's been part of budget battles and political standoffs before, but nothing like this. No state leader in Illinois or anywhere else in the U.S. has ever been around for a budget impasse that has the potential to last an entire year. We're well into the 11th month without a budget. So when I was the only reporter to show up at a Democratic committee meeting in Springfield Monday, and Madigan agreed to answer some questions afterward, I started asking about that.
What are you doing this week to try and get a budget? Is there anything that is going to be happening today, tomorrow, through Friday? We've got 2 weeks left.
We've been involved in budget making since January of this year. You probably know that since Rauner became governor in January of 2015, we've done six budget making bills where the governor signed the bill. There's a seventh bill on his desk today which he could sign, which would provide appropriations for social service agencies all over Illinois. We'll continue to take actions like that for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Our committees have already met. They've taken testimony regarding appropriations for the next budget year, which is called FY17. So we're hard at work, and we're taking testimony from agencies, preparing bills.
What did you think of the package or the framework that the budgeteers put forth? I talked to a couple of legislators, including some Democrats, that were very careful to characterize it not as a deal, but as an outline. Is it an outline that looks good to you, including all of the tax increases?
It's a framework, okay? I think you'll find many Democrats who would find that framework to be inadequate. That's an important thing to understand, because you'll find a majority of Democrats have a strong view as to what the government of Illinois should do for the people of Illinois. And I think they would find that that framework would not be fully supportive of what they think the government of the state of Illinois should do for the people in education, social services, health care. So it was a group of people that met, they talked, they exchanged ideas. It hasn't been shared with the general membership in the legislature. That's an important thing to do.
How is it inadequate? I mean, it raises the income tax, broadens the sales tax base, apparently includes a tax on sugary beverages, new casinos, so a lot of revenue, I mean, billions of dollars. Is it inadequate because it goes too far or not far enough to pay for services, too many cuts?
Well, you're talking about the revenue side of the framework. There's a services part of the framework. That takes you to the question, what should the government of the state of Illinois do for the people of the state of Illinois in education, health care, social services? What should be the level of support? And my point would be that that framework has not been shared with the members of the legislature. It was a small group of people. They met with Tim Newton, who's the budget director. The reports that I received were that Newton pretty much dictated the content of the meeting. So whatever the agreement is has not been shared with the people in the legislature. That would be a very interesting exercise.
What about you, though? Do you find it inadequate?
I don't know enough about it to say whether it's adequate or inadequate. It's a framework. It doesn't get into detail. I'm just not in a position to render a final judgment today.
Could this be done, a two-year budget, by May 31st?
I think we ought to focus on what's in front of us today. We haven't even finalized the current budget. That's part of the bill that's on the governor's desk. So there's a bill on the governor's desk where his communications department complains about drafting errors which are non-existent. The governor ought to focus on that bill because that would provide some money for social service agencies all over Illinois who have provided services to the state on a promise from the Rauner administration that they'd get some money. And they haven't gotten any money. And it's been 11 months. That's what the governor ought to be focused on. Why does he continue to insist that these agencies that provide for the vulnerable in our society are not paid for the services that they've provided to the state. Why doesn't he deal with that?
Let's take a break from Speaker Madigan for a bit. Illinois Senate President John Cullerton was at that same event, and I asked him a similar question.
What did you think about the plan that the rank and file or budgeteers presented? It seems like the cuts and then a really robust picture of revenue.
It also involves revenue, and the key to revenue is Governor Rauner. So we do not have enough votes, even though we have a supermajority, to pass a tax increase over his objection. So if we have a tax increase, it'll be up to Governor Rauner. And if he agrees to have a tax increase, the amount will be up to Governor Rauner. So that's the key.
So did you look at what they sent? I mean, does it seem like something that you could agree to?
What they sent, it doesn't matter if Governor Rauner's not for it. So we're looking for his direction on what his position is on an income tax increase.
And I'm guessing he would say, or actually he did say earlier, it depends on what Democrats are willing to go along.
The Speaker and I have both said we have a $5.5-6 billion deficit. You either close it with revenue or cuts or a combination thereof, and we're open to that. But we haven't heard from him. And we can't do it unilaterally, so we have to hear whether or not the governor is open to an income tax increase, and if so, how much?
Have you given in any more on the quote-unquote turnaround agenda and his wishes there? Has anything changed?
Same deal. We've always indicated willingness to work on those topics, but to hold the whole state government hostage for over a year with some of those radical ideas still on the table, it's not going to work.
Has he learned? I mean, you said early on that he's new to this, and then you've said since he's learning. Is he continuing to learn? Have you seen any changes?
I think he needs to continue to learn.
Speaking of learning, I asked Cullerton about education funding. Schools got their cash from the state on time and in full this year. They were about it to avoid having their funding caught in Democrat standoff with Rauner and the Republicans. There's a lot of concern about what's going to happen to schools this fall, though. Not just because uncertainty about the new fiscal year means school funding could be stuck in the same impasse net as all other services. It's because there's no consensus on how much state money to give schools or how to divvy up whatever they do get. Cullerton, back in January, gave a speech at the City Club of Chicago that got a lot of attention. He said then that education funding is the defining crisis of our time, a reference to Illinois' heavy reliance on local property taxes to fund schools, a method that leads to huge disparities in the quality of education Illinois kids get, depending on where they live. The Illinois Senate recently passed an overhaul of the school funding formula, Senate Bill 231, sponsored by another Democratic legislator, Senator Andy Menar of Macoupin County. With that proposal, next year, no school would see a cut in state funding, but gradually, state money that now goes to districts with more local wealth will instead go to poorer districts. It's supposed to make it all more equitable. Governor Bruce Rauner fought against that plan. He wants to pour $120 million into classrooms for the next school year and use the current formula. But because of how that works out and because of changes in student attendance and property values and such, some districts will see smaller checks from the state, even though, yes, more money is going to education overall. That should catch you up for this exchange I had with Cullerton about education funding and about his favored bill to change how that's done.
It's a very fair bill.
What if it doesn't fly? I mean, I'll ask that man over there as soon as we're done talking.
It's a Senate bill. It can be amended. We always work out our agreements.
Do you stand by that, though? Does the formula have to change before schools are funded?
Actually, I don't think I've ever put it exactly like that. I think it's fair to say that it would be very difficult to pass in the governor's proposal that cuts 36% of the school districts in the state. It would be very difficult to pass that. And even the governor himself said he wanted to have nobody lose. So those two are inconsistent. So we'll wait and see what the governor wants to do with regard to his plan. If he wants to have 36% of the school districts, primarily the poor ones, have less money, that'll be a difficult bill to pass.
What's the House going to do? Will the other chamber vote on or pass the Menar bill that passed the Senate? Who better to ask than House Speaker Michael Madigan?
Are you going to do anything with Senate Bill 231? It has passed the Senate. It would change the education funding formula. I know that there is a group in the House that has also been studying this.
There's been an education task force in the House over several months that has taken testimony from interested parties, school districts, unions, superintendents from all over the state. That task force is prepared to render a report and to file a bill. We're very interested in the Menar bill and the details of that bill. We acknowledge and recognize that he's worked on this issue over several months. Our goal in the House has been to identify inequities in the method of distribution of school money. That's been our goal. We think we've identified inequities that ought to be remedied, and that would be the type of bill that we would propose.
Can you provide any information on what that would look like?
Well, they haven't finalized their thinking. I think it's important to understand that if you understand the method of the distribution of school money, there's a lot of inequity. There's a lot of districts that really need more support from the state in order to educate children, and they're not getting it. And so the goal of that task force was to identify those instances and be prepared to respond to the problems.
I'll give you some time to make dollars and cents of it all and to bring in some politics. It's all tied to politics, right? In case you forgot, there's an election coming up in November. You'll for sure have the chance to vote on one potential amendment to Illinois' Constitution that has to do with protecting funding for transportation needs. The other is a citizen-backed initiative on redistricting. It would strip legislators of the power to design their own districts. Republicans have had the chance, but lately Democrats have held on to the mighty pen that draws the district lines. Supporters of passing that metaphorical pen to an appointed panel of non-legislators say that's better for democracy. GOP Governor Bruce Rauner wants the redistricting constitutional amendment to succeed. Madigan, not so much.
I believe that your spokesman has said that you are not part of a lawsuit that would seek to strike the redistricting constitutional amendment from the November ballot. But people see that and say, Mike Casper is the attorney, there are a lot of ties, and you have made your feelings known about redistricting. Yeah. Are you really not involved, or do you have any comment on that?
There's a group of people who have labeled themselves the People's Map, and they're very much against the proposed change in redistricting where petitions were circulated. Their main objection relates to the fact that the proposed constitutional amendment would repeal the Illinois Voting Rights Act, which was enacted and signed into law by the governor, and it provides protection for minorities all across Illinois in terms of the redistricting. There are clear instances in history where maps drafted by the Republicans have divided minority communities and therefore, in a sense, disenfranchised minority communities. That's what brought on the enactment of the Illinois Voting Rights Act. That act clearly says that where there are concentrations of minorities such that they could influence the outcome of an election, those communities must be kept together. That's what the Illinois statute says today, and that would be repealed by the proposed constitutional amendment. So that's the reason why there's a group of people that are very much against that amendment. The amendment is a clear product of Republican thinking, and it's designed to empower Republican thinking, and part of it is the repeal of the Illinois Voting Rights Act, which minorities are very much in favor of.
Okay, quick deviation there. Back to the budget. Time is running short for this segment, and time's really running short for a budget. Again, Illinois is in the 11th month without one. Legislators have until May 31st to pass a spending plan for the next 12 months. Past that deadline, and it takes a supermajority rather than a simple one to get it done. At a press conference in Chicago Monday, reporters asked Governor Rauner about it.
Well, I am encouraged by the work of the bipartisan working groups. They've been working now for many, many weeks, I think, on a good faith basis. Separate from me, separate from their leaders, which I think is great. And from the feedback I'm receiving, I'm cautiously optimistic. There's bipartisan willingness to come together Everybody's going to have to do some things they'd rather not do. I am not a tax fan. I'd rather cut all taxes. But given our debt and given some of the what we might have to do to accommodate some of the Democrats' interests, I'm willing to look at new revenues and be supportive. I'm supportive of a grand compromise. The critical thing to me is that we have reforms so we can grow our economy and help these businesses. Many members, the rank and file members in the General Assembly, have indicated they're willing to do a grand compromise, and we're hopeful that the leaders will be open to that as well. We're waiting to see.
Rauner repeated, he's open to compromise. He's a natural optimist, gotta be to be governor, he says. And when it comes to the budget, he's cautiously optimistic.
Well, I believe, again, that the working groups are generating some good compromise ideas. And I am supportive of their compromise ideas that I've heard about so far. I don't want to get in front of them, let them introduce what they'd recommend. I've heard some initial ideas on tax reform. I've heard some ideas on spending reductions. I've heard, not publicly but privately, some good ideas on reforms around workers' comp and local control and government structural inefficiencies. I haven't heard any of those come publicly yet. I'm just cautiously optimistic. Now, the good news is we have still 2 weeks left. And many of you here have been students of Illinois politics for a long time. Most big things in Illinois government kind of get done at the 11th hour, sort of in the middle of the night when not everybody's aware of exactly what happened. And so we've got, two weeks. And really, given that most things are already in bill form, and what's not in bill form could be put into a bill within a day or two. So I think we can all stay optimistic until May 30th, and we'll keep encouraging a grand compromise.
But Rauner isn't moving away from his turnaround agenda, and House Speaker Michael Madigan doesn't seem to be moving off of his opposition to it. From Madigan's perspective,
if this doesn't happen by May 31st, you know that there is an additional voting requirement if Illinois doesn't have a budget to get anything enacted right away. Are we looking at the possibility of an impasse that's not just for 1 year, but a 2 year impasse, or further giving over legislative authority really to the judicial branch?
You know that there's an impasse in state government. You know that the House and the Senate have been in continuous session since January of 2015. In the House, and I presume in the Senate, we stand ready to be in session whenever is necessary in order to do the business of the government of the state of Illinois. Again, much of this problem relates to the budget making. There have been 6 instances where we've done budget making because the governor didn't demand his turnaround agenda. The evidence and the facts and the history are real clear that Governor Rauner feels that he can hold hostage the budget making in order to achieve his personal agenda. It's not working. It's not working. Because the majority of people in the legislature feel very strongly that the government ought not to be used to bring down wages and the standard of living of middle-class families and to hurt the vulnerable in the society.
House Speaker Michael Madigan on Illinois' 320th day without a state budget. For NPR Illinois, I'm Amanda Vinicky.